Turn on the recording. Okay. Welcome, everyone. The meeting of the City of Philadelphia Water, Sewer, and Stormwater Rate Board. My name is Sunny Papowski. I'm the chairman of the board. With us today in person is Deb McCarty, who's a member of the board, and joining us on the Zoom are Tony Ewing, Abby Pazevsky, and Mac Williams. So all five members of the board are here. The first order of business for today's meeting is the approval of minutes from June 11th, our monthly meeting on June 11th. First, could I ask if there are any additions or corrections to the minutes from any of the board members? Hearing none, could I ask for a motion to approve the minutes of the June 11 monthly meeting?
I'll move to approve.
Tony moves to approve.
I'll second.
Abby seconds. I'm sorry. Deb seconds. Sorry. Sorry about that. Deb seconds. And is there any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Or raise your hand.
Opposed? No? Okay. The minutes are approved and posted on the website. Major element of our discussion today is that two cases that are pending before the board involving the rates of the Philadelphia Water Department, a general rate proceeding and a TAP-R reconciliation proceeding. The issues in both cases involve whether to accept the recommendations of the hearing officer to adopt settlements to approve proposed increased rates and charges commencing September 1, 2025 and September 1, 2026 in the general rate proceeding and commencing September 1, 2025 in the TAP-R proceeding. Exceptions to the hearing officer's report in the general rate proceeding were filed by the Philadelphia Large Users Group, or PLUG, by two individual participants, Lance Haver and Michael Skangelewski. There were no exceptions filed to the hearing officer's report in the TAP-R proceeding. Before asking for a vote on these matters, I would note that the members of the board have all had the opportunity to review the proposed settlements, the hearing officer reports, the exceptions, as well as the formal notices, the testimony, the public comments, both in writing and as presented in the public hearings, and the various other documents in the record of both proceedings. So now I'm going to start to go through the issues and ask the members of the board to vote on whether or not to grant any of the exceptions to the hearing officer's reports in each of the proceedings, and to vote on whether or not to accept the hearing officer's recommendations to approve the settlements proposed by certain of the participants in those proceedings. Starting first with the TAP-R proceeding, we have before us the hearing officer's report, which would approve a settlement in that proceeding to establish TAP-R rates for the 12-month period commencing September 1, 2025 at $3.59 per 1,000 cubic feet for water and $5.07 per MCF for sewer. This is a reduction from the department's original request of $3.87 per MCF for water and $5.67 per MCF for sewer. No exceptions were filed to that recommendation. Is there any discussion among the members determined to this question of whether or not to accept the hearing officer's recommendation to approve the settlement proposed by the Water Department and the Public Advocate for TAP-R rates commencing September 1, 2025, and to allow the department to file new TAP-R rates and charges at least 10 days in advance of that effective date? Any discussion among the board members? Hearing none, I would say that I think the settlement is a reasonable one. Represents a reduction from the department's original request, although it's an increase from their current tap rates. No exceptions were filed. I would ask for a vote on those question of whether to accept the hearing officer's report to allow the department to file new tap R rates and charges. I vote yes. Mr. Ewing?
Yes.
Ms. Pozefsky?
Yes.
Mr. Williams? You have to unmute, Mac.
Yes.
Ms. McCarty?
Yes.
So 5-0 in favor of approving the TAP-R settlement and TAP-R hearing officer's report. Consistent with our votes, we will prepare a written draft rate determination for the board's consideration at our July 23rd meeting. Turn now to the general rate proceeding. I'd like to start with the exception filed by the Philadelphia Large Users Group, or PLUG. PLUG has accepted to the hearing officer's recommendation to deny PLUG's request to reject the Water Department's modifications to regulations regarding the administration, including the eligibility requirements for PWD's charitable discount program. The hearing officer concluded that while the board may review the rates associated with the charitable discount program, the board does not have authority over the regulations regarding how PWD or the Water Revenue Bureau administers the eligibility provisions for that program. He further noted that these proposed regulations have been filed with the City Department of Records and that PLUG can raise its objections at a hearing that has now been scheduled on the proposed regulations on July 21st. Is there any discussion of PLUG's exception? On behalf, I agree with the hearing officer that the rate board does not have authority over the rules governing eligibility and other administrative elements of this program. Any appeal from the change in regulations proposed by the Water Department must go to the Department of Records, and it is my understanding that PLUG has, in fact, requested a hearing on this matter at the Department of Records, and that such a hearing is scheduled to occur on July 21st. Oh, I'm sorry. No, right, I'm sorry. The request for hearing was filed at the Department of Records. I apologize. Thank you, Mr. So I will ask for a vote on that, on the PLUG exception. I would vote to deny the PLUG exception on this issue. Mr. Ewing?
For the reasons that you articulated, I'll vote to deny.
Ms. Pozefsky?
Also deny.
Mr. Williams?
Deny.
Ms. McCarty?
Deny.
By the exception is unanimous, and that will be included in our final order. The next exception we'll turn to is Mr. Skangileski's. It was a very brief exception. It did not include any specific objections to the terms of the settlement or the hearing officer's report, but did suggest that a process of selective perception has led to biased decision-making and a skewed understanding of reality. Is there any discussion of Mr. Skangileski's I disagree with his characterization of the process used to develop the hearing officer's report. I would vote to deny his exception. Ewing?
Deny.
Ms. Pozefsky?
Deny.
Mr. Williams?
Denied.
Ms. McCarty? Next, to turn to Mr. Haver's exceptions or exception. It was filed a. Mr. Haver objects to the hearing officer's recommendation on a number of grounds, stating generally that the practices that have been used to raise water rates in Philadelphia are corrupt, that the water department simply requests a greater rate increase than it needs, and then agrees in a backroom deal to what it really wants, that the hearing officer failed to recognize that the department could have voluntarily agreed to a number of the recommendations made by Mr. Haver, even if the rate board did not have the authority to order them, and that the settlement allowed the department to increase rates by an amount that was substantially greater than the recommendation of what Mr. Haver referred to as the rate board's own witnesses. Is there any discussion of Mr. Haver's exception? Ms. McCarty?
I think that the exception is uninformed and does a disservice to the open process that has been conducted, and the misinformation is not helpful to our customers. Recommend denying.
Thank you. Are there any other comments from members of the board? I have a few comments. First, I would disagree with Mr. Haver's reference to the public advocate's expert witnesses as, quote, the rate board's own witnesses. The rate board does not present expert testimony in these proceedings, and the rate board has no input in the positions presented by the public advocate's experts in these proceedings. It's also not a surprise that the settlement is higher than the public advocate's testimony position. That's the nature of a settlement. It is typically a compromise among the parties to a proceeding. I agree with Mr. Haver that the department is free to agree to any of Mr. Haver's recommendations. In fact, the hearing officer specifically urged the department to be sensitive, to explore these or other suggestions as appropriate. But agreements like those are the product of good faith negotiations among the participants, which are typically done on a confidential basis unless and until a settlement is reached. Finally, I would disagree with the characterization of our process as corrupt, as well as the specific criticisms of our hearing officer, Ms. Chestnut, and the public advocate, Mr. Ballinger. For decades, Ms. Chestnut has rightly been held in the highest esteem by participants in the utility regulatory process across Pennsylvania. And to my knowledge, no one has ever questioned her honesty and integrity. And I think I've known Ms. Chestnut for 30 years. In addition, Mr. Ballinger and his associates at Community Legal Services have been zealous advocates for Philadelphia consumers for many years. You may recall that in one of our earlier rate board proceedings, Mr. Ballinger appealed our decision that he felt was unfair to consumers all the way to the Pennsylvania Supreme Court. And by the way, Community Legal Services is not compensated for those appeals under the city's contract. So generally, I think that the settlement reached by the participants and approved by the hearing officer are reasonable, and I would vote to deny Mr. Haver's exception. Are there any other comments from members of the board before we vote on that matter?
I would just say that I really applaud the efforts of all of those who reached a settlement. I think it is always better to have the parties agree and to move forward to put the rates in effect with as little animosity as possible. I think everybody did a tremendous job in narrowing the issues and coming to a conclusion. And I especially thank Judge Chestnut, who has done her usual phenomenal job of organizing things in the best of all possible ways.
Any other comments from members of the board? And I would just add on Ms. Kosevsky's comments that one of the benefits of a settlement in a case like this is sometimes the participants are able to agree on matters that are not technically within the authority of the board itself. I think that that was done in this proceeding, and it is a benefit. that can be achieved through a good faith settlement. So if there are no other comments from members of the board, I'll ask for a vote on Mr. Haver's exception. I would vote to deny that exception. Mr. Ewing?
Deny.
Ms. Efsky?
Denied.
Williams?
Denied.
Hardy?
Denied.
Nothing, so the exception is denied. Now, with respect to the hearing officer's report in the general rate proceeding, notwithstanding the rejection of any specific exceptions, we as a board must determine whether to accept the hearing officer's recommendations, including approval of the first and second settlement petitions, to permit the department to increase rates on September 1, 2025 and September 1, 2026, to allocate those rate increases in accordance with the tables provided by PWD in support of the first and second settlements, and allow the water department to file new rates and charges at least 10 days in advance of those effective dates. So I would now ask for a vote, whether you vote in favor of accepting the recommendation of the hearing officer to allow the rates set forth in the settlement to go forward. That it's a settlement would allow the average bill to go up in the first year from 81, I'm sorry, the typical residential bill from 8177 to 8942, and in the second year to go from 8942 to 9431. Can we just vote, please? We are going to have comments from the public. Can we please go ahead and we'll go ahead and complete our vote, and then I will certainly allow a vote. No. People have had enormous many opportunities to be a participant in the proceeding, to submit public testimony. You can. You've been to dozens of Pennsylvania Public Utility Commission votes on these, and this is how it, and as you know, this is how it is done. You vote based on the record in the, we have to vote based on the record in the case, the testimony in the case, and the public comments of the members of the public. We then, and the written comments, and the written briefs, and the written exceptions, and all the exhibits, we must vote on that record. At that point, the record is closed and we are going to vote. After we vote, if you have comments on the vote, then you're free to give them. So I would again ask for a vote. I would vote yes to accept the recommendation of the hearing officer to accept the rates set forth in the settlements. Mr. Ewing, do you vote yes or no? Yes.
I vote to accept.
Ms. Pozefsky?
To accept.
Mr. Williams?
I vote to accept.
McCarty?
Accept.
Okay, thank you. And the vote is 5-0 to accept that. And consistent with our votes, we will prepare a written draft determination for the board's consideration at our July 23rd meeting. I would ask the board members, is there any other, and we do have, by the way, a board meeting right here again a week from today. Again, in person and via Zoom to vote on the final order, which is being prepared in response to the votes taken today. Is there any other matters that the board members would wish to bring before the board at this time?
I would just like to say that I do think that Marcy did an excellent job. Both reports masterfully. Abby has expressed, I really do appreciate public advocate and the department on reaching a settlement and working with Plug as well.
And I'll just comment and echo the thanks for all the participants. As you mentioned, we've had a chance to review dozens of reports, exceptions, notices, testimony, public comment, and the like, as well as obviously the proposed settlements, the exceptions and otherwise. And that is that work product is obviously the result of a lot of people hours, and thank you all for doing a service.
And I would just add, in to follow up on what Ms. McCarty said with regard to plug, they did join in the settlement for all of their issues. One issue that they resolved at the end of the case, all except for the one issue that they chose to continue to litigate involving the charity discount. Other comments from members of the board? Are there any comments from members of the public, either here or on the or on the Zoom?
My name is Lance Heaver. I have two questions. Where can I find the Rate Board's evaluation of the public advocate?
I don't believe there is a formal evaluation of the public advocate. So if I can say that it was it's been excellent.
I understand your position. You're a big supporter, but I'm asking you specifically, what criteria do you use? And you're saying there is no written report, there are no criteria, just your judgment. Is that correct?
Not aware of any formal written requirement for evaluation.
My second question is, how will the Rate Board seek the public's opinion on how good or poor a job its public advocate provided in this last rate increase?
Public is free to submit comments to the board. I don't know how. I've not we have not frankly heard any complaints other than.
Are you doing outreach to any of the registered community organizations to see what they think? Are you doing outreach to any of the civic organizations or advocacy organizations to see what they think?
No.
You're doing outreach to any of the elected officials to see what they think?
No, but I certainly have, if public officials were concerned about the public advocate, they certainly know where to reach us.
But I just want to make sure on the record, you're telling me that you do no outreach to the community groups, no outreach to the civic groups, no outreach to the advocacy groups, no outreach to the elected officials in deciding what the public thinks of the role that you have hired CLS to perform. Is that correct? How do you justify that? If you call them the public advocate and you don't ask the public what they think of the job that the public advocate is doing, how do you justify that?
Ordinance under well under the ordinance I don't even I'm not sure that the public advocate is required, but under our regulations we require that the public ad that there be a public advocate. Great service to customers that we
That's not what I'm asking. I'm asking how you justify deciding that they represent the public. You've made it clear that they don't legally represent the public. You've made it clear that they don't have to have a client group. So I'm asking you, how do you justify not bothering to ask the public what they think?
I don't think there's any requirement that we do a survey of how the public advocate is doing. They do represent the interests of the small customers
And how do you
of
know that?
Philadelphia.
How do you know that if you don't bother to ask people what they think?
This is a very technical process, and
If you have to pay a higher bill, it's not so technical. If you're one of the DC 33 members who just got a 3% increase and is now being forced to pay an 18% increase in their water bills, it's not a technical matter. The fact that you're a former water commissioner and you get to sit here and try and obfuscate the facts is amazing to me. You don't even disclose who you are and what you've been.
It's actually on our website, sir. And it is, the public has had ample opportunity to read. I have personally, I'm sure Sunny has and others, have read all of the letters from the public. That all goes into our decision, as did the hearing officer make clear in her report. It went into her decision as well. So the public, whether you know you want to twist it and say the public advocate does not represent the public or is not adequately representing the public, I find that they have. They, as again, as I was starting to say, it is a very technical process, and they brought witnesses to speak to the technical issues, going through line by line why the department is asking for a rate increase is not for the weak of heart by any stretch of the imagination. Haven't been on both sides. Yes, I have been. And so it is complicated.
My question is very specific.
For the public advocate is because, one of the reasons I would say, is because the average citizen, the average customer, does not have the time or the wherewithal to go through all of this.
Yeah, my question is very specific. How do you know what the average customer thinks of the job that the public advocate is doing if you don't ask?
We have public input hearings. People are certainly, if that was an issue that they're concerned about, they certainly could have raised it at the public hearings.
When is the public input hearing on the on your choice of a public advocate? When is that hearing?
There is no hearing on that.
So there's no hearing on that. So there's no way for people to directly be heard on that issue.
That's not true. We announce when.
And again, what outreach do you do to tell the public about that's what you're discussing? You've said it's very complicated. You've said people don't have the, excuse me. You've said it's very complicated and people don't have the time. And now you're suggesting that everybody should understand that. I'm saying that you have a moral obligation to do outreach, to ask the public what they think of an advocate that goes behind closed doors and agrees year after year after year to settlements that cause the bills to skyrocket. I think that you are acting in an amoral, corrupt way by shutting the public out of the discussion of who the public advocate is.
Well, fine. See that.
That's your opinion. Thank you. Anything else? No, thank you. Any other members of the public who may be on the Zoom wish to make any comments? Additional comments by any members, by the hearing officer or any of the other participants in the proceeding or the other board members? Yeah, let us know. Raise your hand virtually if you wanted to speak, or if you're already admitted as a panelist, then you can just speak. Andre?
Sunny, if I may, just I want to thank everyone for sort of going through a very arduous process and sort of coming through it in a sort of amicable way to find a solution to problems that sort of can be very complicated. And they are very technical. And I think we've also laid the foundation in this case to what rate structure changes or alternatives might be explored in the future, and a host of other areas of customer-related solutions that are beyond perhaps the remit of the board. But nonetheless, the public advocate is engaged just to do certain things well beyond the scope of your authority. But nonetheless, you've convened us and facilitated that conversation. So I'm thankful for all of that. And I think I just have a very positive view, having watched this proceeding from 1980 till now, and thinking that, you know, we only resolved it by settlement a handful of times. And I exclude the TAP-R proceedings because they are designed to be reconciled. But in the other proceedings, it just seems like we found a way to work through a complicated set of issues and find reasonable results that will help the department and its customers for a number of years to come. And for that, I am grateful.
Are there any other comments?
Can I make a statement here?
Ms. Chestnut, yes, certainly.
I'd like to just second what Mr. Rapalski said. And I have to give a strong statement that the entire rate-making process is completely open and transparent. There is just no way the public has been shut out. They've been, everything is open, everything's on the record, everything is posted to the Rate Board's website. Now, in terms of how CLS performs its duty as public advocate, I think that's very clear from the work it performed in the case itself, the testimony, the positions it took. That's what's important to the members of the community in terms of, are they ticking off boxes in the contract about product, you know, deliverable deadlines and things? That's an administrative action for the Rate Board to consider, but that's internal. And I think it's very clear to the public what kind of job has been done to represent their interests. So I just have to say again, it's completely open, it's completely transparent. The public has been informed every step of every action taken. And to imply otherwise is just not helpful and it's not correct. It's also not correct to say that there have been a series of settlements. This is, as far as I know, this is the second settlement in a general rate proceeding since 2016. And each one, the first one, not only was a tremendous settlement in terms of the revenue requirement reduction, but led to the special proceeding that led to a $30 million rate revenue reduction. That would not have been possible without it being a settlement. This settlement, again, as I explained in my report, and hopefully the Rate Board will in its rate determination recognize that there are non-rate benefits that were included that the Rate Board could not order by itself, but that do provide a tangible benefit for residential and commercial customers. So I just wanted to clarify that. And so anyway, I'm sorry if I went on too long here.
Thank you very much. Are there any other comments?
Yes, if I may, just very, very briefly. I don't think I'm going to say anything that hasn't been said or alluded to, but, you know, again, I want to extend my thanks to hearing officer, to the participants. This was a tough case. It was a lot of work. I know that's certainly true for my team. I believe it's true for all of the other participants. And to get to a settlement at sort of the 11th hour was really very, it was surprising to me in this case, and I'm proud of that proposal that we put before you, which is, as Mr. Tsant and Judge Chestnut recognize, something that doesn't happen in general rate proceedings for Philadelphia Water all that much. It's very common in DUC rate proceedings, but even before the establishment of the board, settlement was rare. I'm only aware of one occasion in which we fully settled on revenue requirements, and I think we still didn't settle on some of the other aspects of that case as well in 2012. I want to just again extend my thanks and my gratitude, and recognize that, you know, we are still getting inquiries from members of the public about water rates. Our email and contact information is always available. We set the designated phone number and email address for our services as a public advocate, and we continue to get questions and supply information and try to assist members of the public who want to understand this process better and how they may be heard in it. And they have many opportunities, and we assist in really many ways to make that happen and to enrich the record on which board ultimately decides to improve just and reasonable rates and charges for all Philadelphians. Thank you.
Any other comments? Hearing none, I'll ask for a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Make a motion to adjourn.
Okay, Ms. McCarty moves to adjourn.
Second.
Second, Mr. Ewing. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. No. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you all for coming. We'll see you again next week.